in general, it's just kind of going out, getting the blood flowing, you know, enjoying ramping the heart rate a bit, and then getting back to the reason why you're traveling, which is probably work meetings, obligations, things like that, or sitting on the beach, you know, doing something fun with the family. I do think that the number one thing to look at is setting up your training plan and such that your expectations on the road look different than they do at home. Hi, everyone. This is The Podium, and I'm Dr. Kevin Sprouse. Our podcast originated as a resource for my practice where I work with professional athletes and high-performing individuals from around the world. Today, it has become a forum for an even greater audience, and we welcome everyone as we discuss the principles of performance and then disseminate pertinent, actionable information with our patients in mind. One thing to note before we begin, the content of this podcast is not meant as medical advice. This is for general informational purposes only. Welcome to The Podium.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Podium. I am Patrick Morris and I'm here today with Dr. Kevin Sprouse.
Patrick, good to be here. We're doing our second installation in our travel series. And I think this is going to be a good one. This is one that I've spent many years honing, for better or worse, making mistakes and figuring out how to do it well. So we're going to be talking about exercise and training while you travel.
Yeah, it's the second leg of the trip. I'm gonna stick with the bad puns for the travel series here. So yeah, we're going to be talking about travel and training, ways to think about if you're going to continue training through trips, if you're going to try to get some exercise on trips, and some of the things that I know you've done a lot, and then I've kind of adopted from seeing that of, oh, I can continue staying active or sneaking a little bit in when I'm on the road, as opposed to just writing it all off.
I think that's probably the biggest thing to consider right off the bat when you're an athlete, competitive, recreational, whatever, is what your goals are while traveling. And I learned kind of early on, probably the hard way, that it didn't make any sense. It wasn't productive for me to think that I was going to continue to get really good workouts and try to improve my fitness while traveling. You know, if I had an event or a race coming up, it made really no sense to try to ramp up training volume while traveling for work. And it's different. I mean, if you're traveling for work versus a, I don't know, training camp or something like that versus, you know, the event itself, or vacation, like they're all going to have different tolerances for you in terms of your training load. But I'd say the most common scenario we run up against in a non-professional athlete, professional athlete's going to be on the road a lot and has to train through that. And that's part of the lifestyle, part of the thing they have to figure out. So this is really geared toward the non-professional athlete, maybe still high performing, but most of those trips are going to be a trip for work or a trip for vacation. And I kind of put them in the same category where I learned after years of not being able to successfully target improving my fitness on those trips, to just be able to say, hey, this is going to be a lighter week where I just don't want to drop too far. I want to maintain, I want to get out, be active, do things that, that support my overall plan, but also just my performance in whatever I'm doing on the road. And even if that's vacation, just getting some blood flowing and enjoying the activity of it. So the rest of the time is fun as well. It's a very different mindset than saying, you know, this week I've got two big workouts and I've got to hit these intervals and all that. It's really taking the pressure off of it.
Yeah. It really helps you reframe what you're trying to get out of those workouts. And then you shift kind of how much time you're trying to put into it. If you know, hey, I have a 12-hour workday, I'm not going to think that I'm going to get an hour and a half ride in. And I'm not going to try to, because that 12-hour workday is a lot of stress on the body. The travel to get to that location, you know, sleeping in different environments, whatever it is, it's all stress. So to think I'm going to try to continue to gain fitness and add more stress is going to be kind of counterproductive.
Yeah, it's a losing proposition. And so it becomes much more fun and rewarding, and a goal that is achievable to say, yeah, instead of having a 2-hour ride on a Tuesday, whatever, if you're traveling, that you're going to do a 45-minute run, right? And you see part of where you are. Like, you know, if you're in a new city or even one you've been to a lot of times, there may be places you haven't been able to see otherwise. So if you go out and just kind of be active without having a major goal, you can do a few intervals on your run or something, but in general, it's just kind of going out, getting the blood flowing, enjoying ramping the heart rate a bit, and then getting back to the reason why you're traveling, which is probably work meetings, obligations, things like that, or sitting on the beach, doing something fun with the family. So I do think that the number one thing to look at is setting up your training plan, and such that your expectations on the road look different than they do at home. And quite honestly, if you say, hey, that's not really for me, like I want to go out and have really good workouts on the road, you're probably setting yourself up to be very frustrated. Occasionally you might hit those, but more often than not, it's not going to slot in well. Something's not going to go well. You're not going to have the equipment you need, whatever it is. And so it's going to be a much smoother proposition and one that doesn't break you down as much to just change your expectations, change your goals, and address these days on the road very differently than you would at home.
Yeah. I like having athletes approach their training on the road from that sense of, okay, I'm going to have some gratitude towards being able to get out and go for this run or explore the area or take advantage of this new group class or a gym that's in the hotel. And then if it ends up being a really good training day, it's just kind of like the carrot on top. It's not, oh, well, I missed my, 4x15 minute intervals today. It's instead, wow, like I got to run in new terrain and I had a really good workout. I feel great. Now I can go live the rest of my life that day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great way to think about it. But with that in mind, as kind of context, we do want to look at setting up our travel in a way where we can maintain activity and maintain some level of exercise, fitness, when we have those goals, be able to reach them, even if they're maybe not as lofty as at home. And I think that it's well worth some forethought and planning as you head out, because if you totally take away everything and just say, well, this week I'm traveling, I'm not going to do anything, I think that's a miss too. I'm not saying that it needs to all be dialed back that far, but it's more one of these things where if you train 10 hours a week at home, maybe you're going to do 4 on the road, but let's get 4 that are certain to happen, that kind of tick the boxes that you have for yourself, so that when you come back home or back to your normal training plan, you haven't slid very far. You've maintained, right? Don't expect that you've gained a whole lot, maybe not at all, but you haven't dropped back a whole lot either.
Yeah. And there's a lot of chance to take advantage of being in a new environment, especially through the lens of kind of traveling for work, right? Say you're flying out on Monday, you've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're going to be somewhere and then flying home. But some of that's out of your control, but there are certain things that you're able to control. And I think a little bit of preparation, like you talked about, is really helpful in that situation. And one of the easiest things is just like finding a hotel that has a pretty decent gym, or even locating places in the area that you're going to be that allow drop-ins in the gyms.
Yeah. I think that's a huge thing to do. And I mean, I was looking at hotels yesterday for an upcoming trip next month. And the way that I do it is I kind of look, generally where I want to be in the town, near whatever it is, whatever reason I'm going there for. But then I'll kind of look at 4, 5, 6 hotels there and see what they have as fitness resources. And some of them have pretty good gyms. And I've gotten to the point where in certain cities, when I travel, I know the hotels I'll stay at because the gym is usually really good if it makes that list of like, let's do this again. And oftentimes they're on a greenway or by a river or somewhere where it's easy to hop out and go for a run or a walk. And so I like, going to a hotel's website, looking for the pictures of the gym. You can get kind of a good idea. Sometimes, just like with any, real estate pictures or whatever else, they're a bit overly polished, but you can get a sense of what the gym looks like. Some hotels have proper fitness clubs that, even locals can be members of. And that's a fantastic setup if you can find an actual gym inside the hotel. There's also some websites and I can't remember names of them. Honestly, I've never found a great one, but there are a few out there where they will catalog the gym options and facilities at hotels. And so you can go in and read people's reviews of what the gym was like. And that has occasionally been helpful too, but putting a little effort into it. And then more importantly, I think, because oftentimes for work travel, people end up in the same places repeatedly, finding that place that really fits the bill and then knowing that you're going to go back there is really important. And then you mentioned finding a local gym. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's something that CrossFit's done a great job at, the whole drop-in. Like, you can just show up at the different CrossFit boxes or gyms and drop in and do things, but you can do that at regular gyms as well. And as someone who, like, I work out in the garage gym, a well-equipped setup, but like, yeah, I don't get the joy of having a full club. It's nice when I'm traveling to take advantage of that. And then even beyond that, if I'm in an area that maybe has an Equinox or what is it, the Alo, or these like really nice, like full fitness centers, is a place where I could go and like actually sit and work as well, have their smoothie bar. I'm like, I'm going to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And go just experience what it's like to work out in a place like that.
Yeah. And a lot of those places have a free like 3-day pass, right? So if, when you show up in a town, I can think, I went to this one in London one time where I did a little search of the area on Google, found some gyms, and one looked really nice. And I called, like, yeah, we have a 1-week pass. And it was like £1,000 for a week. I didn't go there, obviously. But you can find like this full range of things from like a Planet Fitness, which is probably going to be free. They'll have like a 3-day or a 5-day pass. And then next time you go to a different city, you sign up for another 3-day or 5-day pass. And we'll have everything you need, but not be super high end. But or you can find a place that is really nice that may have like a, I don't know, $50 for a week. But you know, if that is something you value, can be a really good option for you that week.
Yeah, and it's easy to prep out when you're traveling. You're sitting in the airport, kind of know these things, and then you're going to be more likely to go and follow through with it. You know, if you're maybe not as dedicated or in intensively, like you have like that internal need, it really helps when you just kind of have those things outlined for yourself and you kind of know what you're going to be doing, from picking your hotel, knowing some places, some options, that when you get there, you're less likely to just, you know, hang out on the couch.
Yeah. And I think finding those outdoor options are really good too. So knowing where you can do some, whether it's indoor bike, treadmill, resistance training, that stuff's great. But if you're going to be going to a city where you can get outside, run, rent a bike, go for a walk, whatever, that's huge. And I mean, I can think of all the years that I've traveled in Europe, when I get to, or I'm even approaching one of our hotels for the night, and it was always a new hotel every night for the most part. I know a bunch of, it wasn't just me, but a bunch of the staff, we would all have Google Maps open, looking at where the hotel is, looking for a place to run, figuring out like, you know, where are we going to all meet up the next morning to go for a run? And it's kind of fun to do, but it's also a way to explore the area. And oftentimes there'll be somebody in that setting, at least somebody was like, oh yeah, we stayed here 2 years ago and we had this great run on the river. So it's great to look geographically where you are too, and see where you can get out and run. And I will say, I said a river now twice, any town you go to, if you like US, Europe, wherever, if your hotel's near a river and you run to the river, it's almost guaranteed that there's going to be a path on one bank or the other that you can go run for miles.
Yeah. And it's really helpful if you've never used it, Google Maps and other ones have layers where you can put pedestrian transport on there and they'll just be green lines and you can see what their greenway network or their bike lane network and that sort of a thing. It'll be very clearly marked and you can just kind of route yourself to the closest green line and run in most either direction, which typically feels pretty safe. Sometimes when you get down by the river, I've decided to turn around and come back. And I say that as a 6'3" male, but it is really helpful to just say, okay, cool. Like, look at this. Like, I love going to cities that have a lot more infrastructure. Like, we have a pretty good greenway system here, but you're traveling somewhere that's very pedestrian friendly, especially when you're over in Europe and you're just like, wow, I can just go anywhere and it's normal and safe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really great. And another place to look is Strava. If you use Strava for your training, you can also plan plan where you'll go on there, but also see where other people tend to go in the, what do they call it, heat maps. So you can see where locals or where anybody who's been in that area have done most of their training. And that's a really easy way. I don't like to take my phone. Some people will take their phone and follow the map. I just like to kind of see generally what direction do I need to go. And if there's one kind of long road that a lot of people have been on or trail or whatever, I'm just going to make my way to that and use it. So there's all kinds of resources out there that make it, really fun, I think. And going back to our first point, so you land in a new city, you find the place you're going to run. It's a very different mentality to say, okay, maybe normally I run a pace of 7:30, right, for 5 miles or something. But you're in a new city, you're not quite sure of all the turns and how you're going to get there. It takes some of the pressure off to just say, I'm not really going to worry about my pace. I'm just going this direction, try to find the route I'm looking for, try to get home without getting lost. I'd say at least 25% of the time that I do this, I get lost in a good way, like finding new places and trying to make my way back. But no attention is paid to pace. And so it just becomes kind of a natural transition toward just doing it for fun as opposed to making it structured.
Yeah. And then sometimes you get on Strava, you look around, you see where you're staying, and you're like, I'm going to try to snag this KOM and run from my hotel really, really fast just so that people in Paducah, Kentucky know I was there.
Yeah. I started using Strava a while ago. I can't remember. It was during residency. So 2008, 2009, long time ago. And so early on, especially early on when I would travel in Europe, I would get all kinds of KOMs out on runs and stuff. And really until a couple years ago, I would every now and then just get an email that, you know, you lost your KOM in rural Netherlands. I was like, what? I didn't know I had that. It was just because nobody else had run it. So it is fun to kind of see what's out there and where you can target those. Yeah. Go out and take mine that I don't even know that I have.
So it's nice because, you know, for runners out there, you get to travel with your shoes. So there's not a whole lot to pack. And then kind of the next thing that we have on here is some equipment that you can travel with if you're going to be in a hotel and you kind of have a little bit more simple workout, things that you can toss in your bag that make it easy to get a little bit of movement, a little bit of strength, mobility in the hotel room without worrying about maybe you don't have access to a good gym or the time's a lot more crunched.
I've found just in my travel in the U.S., I've had a much easier time finding gyms and being able, whether it's in the hotel or near the hotel, to get out and use those facilities. But in Europe, that's a much harder proposition. And there are places in the U.S. where it's difficult as well. And so when I travel, especially when I travel to Europe, I carry a few things with me that make it easy for me to get a workout in, whether that's in the hotel or sometimes out in the hotel parking lot, which a parking lot or a park next to it or whatever. So, you know, sometimes that has drawn some looks, but I don't really care. So I'll travel frequently with TRX bands or some sort of suspension bands, mine are TRX, and it's got an attachment that allows you to kind of sling it over the door frame and then close the door and use that to secure it. You can do all kinds of things with that. Or I'll take it, like I said, if there's a park nearby, if there's like a kid's play structure or something, monkey bars, you can throw it around that and kind of, you don't need anything to clip it. You just run it through a loop and you've got it there. So, and it takes up no space. I mean, TRX bands are, it's tiny. Also taking like small exercise bands, so resistance bands to do any number of exercises, core exercises, lateral or sideways walks with them, any number of things. And it takes, I mean, those take zero space. So right there, you can get in a really good workout and have only taken up kind of a little corner of your suitcase at most.
Yeah, it's nice to have just a couple things in there because then, again, you've brought it, so you're more likely to use it and kind of get over that. Also, it makes it easier because if you have, like, I'll put together, like, a routine for people that I know travel a lot, and it's like, here's hotel workout one, hotel workout two, and it's something that you can get in, you know that you have it 20 or so minutes, and it checks the box and it gets you feeling better. I will also say that, like, you really don't need anything. Like, body yeah. weight is plenty. It's just all of the body weight stuff is like the least fun to do. And it's pretty difficult if you're going to do like a body weight AMRAP. So we don't like doing that. So having some of these other things helps make it to where it's like, all right, I'm getting a little bit of a workout, bringing some bands, doing like some of your physical therapy, exercise, prehab sort of a stuff, whatever you might be working on, I think can be really valuable to just kind of check those boxes when you're traveling.
Yeah. It can also be helpful to have a few of these little things. If you end up in a hotel gym that's not well equipped, oftentimes they'll have just kind of a room that says fitness center or whatever, but you go in and there's like an old stationary bike and there's a treadmill and, you know, maybe there's a couple mats and that's it. And then if you have, you know, if you have bands or TRX or any number of things, you can kind of augment that. But I will say, and I mentioned this, I've found if it's nice outside and you can find a playground or something like that, that can be a really easy way to get a good workout. Doing, you've got a place to do pull-ups, you can do dips, you can do you know, box jumps or step-ups on a bench or something like that. You know, don't be the sketchy guy that's doing that while the kids are playing on the playground, but if it happens to be really early in the morning or during school hours and it's not at the school, then a play structure like that can be a really useful tool.
Yeah. I've definitely gone overboard with this before. I took a 50-pound kettlebell to the beach, or 53-pound kettle with me to the beach. But I'll say, waking up and doing like kettlebell swings and goblet squats on the beach was fantastic. So if you're driving somewhere and you've got that kettlebell and you want to toss it in the car, by all means, just don't drop it on your toe.
I was going to say, I hope you were driving.
Oh yeah, no. I'll check a separate bag. When I was putting this together and thinking about the last episode, and we talked about bringing the like air quality sensor, mm-hmm. bringing a pillow. And then I was like, okay, now we're going to talk about traveling with equipment with TRX bands and mats. Yeah. And then next week I'm going to talk about snacks that I like to travel with. I was like, wow, we need a separate suitcase that we told everybody they have to bring to travel.
It is true that, I mean, I'll often take a large suitcase on a shorter trip. Like, I want to check a bag specifically for this, but if I'm checking a bag that could have been a smaller checked bag, I'll oftentimes just take the bigger one so that I can throw more of this type of stuff in there and not worry about it. Yeah. So it is a consideration, but it doesn't have to take up a ton of room. But yeah, I wouldn't say if you're just carrying on, don't check your luggage just to take this stuff. You can do plenty of things without taking anything with you.
Yeah. So on the note of, we kind of talked about this like at the lead off here with training and programming and kind of keeping an eye on, okay, I'm going to be out of town this week. I think communicating with your coach or respecting that in the training program is really important. And I also think I kind of wanted to just ask you this idea of, sometimes when people know that they have a big training block coming up, they'll try to cram training before and after trips, thinking, oh, I've got to catch up or I've got to get ahead of it. But I find a lot of times if we do that, we're then not really recovering while we're traveling because we're not sleeping as well, or we have client things we have to do in the evening. And then we get back and think, oh, I've got to catch up. And it's a really dangerous way to get yourself kind of like overcooked, maybe like increase your chance of sickness and that sort of a thing.
I agree. I mean, I think most people across the board, recreational to professional, look at their training calendars in far too a myopic manner, thinking that if there's a couple days or a week that are suboptimal, that you have to like make up for that very quickly somehow. And that never really goes well. What you want to see is across months that you've maintained consistency and a nice ebb and flow to the periodization. So a travel week can really fit that bill quite nicely. If you consider it this way, if it wasn't a travel week, it was just an off week or like a recovery week where you drop the volume considerably, you drop the intensity, then you might have a heavy week leading into it, but you wouldn't put like a really heavy week right after it. You'd gradually come back up. And so it wouldn't make sense in that same mindset to put two big weeks on either side of a travel week, even if it was an easy travel week, like a vacation travel week. So I don't think it's a good idea to do it here, quite honestly. But if you've got travel that is going to be somewhat stressful, not even in a bad way, but just, you know, packed with things to do, like you mentioned, then you're right. You have to respect the stress that that puts on the body. In the same way that we wouldn't send someone to altitude and have them immediately start training hard, or send someone to a hot environment where they haven't, you know, been training in the heat and have them train really hard, I don't think it makes sense to discount the stress of travel and work engagements and all of that thing, those things, and, you know, train hard either on the trip or immediately before and after. It's got to be a much broader view of how that all fits in. So in that scenario, yes, you might ramp training up heading into a travel week. And I can kind of get on board with that. But then the week itself is not really a recovery week. So coming out of it wouldn't be just full board, be kind of a back to a gradual build.
Yeah, I really like that approach. And I think that it's just important to note that in your, if you're using a Training Peaks or whatever it might be, put those days in there, especially like if you're working with a coach or if you're just programming for yourself, even just to help you visualize it, to kind of know, hey, I'm going to check these things. And just a little bit more of that planning can be really helpful to where when you're on that trip and you've told yourself, all right, I've got work travel, I'm not going to try to train really hard on Wednesday. You start to think, well, you know, I usually do like a hard track workout Wednesdays. So like, I'm going to still go out and try to get this done. And then you do. And then Thursday, you're like, well, I usually do a long run, and then it starts to spiral out of it. So if you work it into the greater plan, then you're more likely to keep to that plan.
Yeah, I agree. I think that having that accountability is huge.
Yeah. And then one thing I have on here that I like to do with like a lot of the people that I work with is use trips as something to like actually train for. We're not all doing like races and events and these big deals, but maybe we're going on a trip that's going to be more active. We're going to be going on a lot of hikes. We're going backpacking, doing like a whitewater trip, whatever it might be. I really like letting people frame that as their like reason for training and kind of build it into a training plan and like, oh, I'm going to take these 8 weeks ahead of my trip to wherever, because I know I'm going to be walking a lot, hiking. I want to get some runs in while I'm there, and train up like through like an actual periodization cycle, get ready for that week of travel. And then you've kind of gained some fitness, like you're feeling good. Maybe you're going to the beach and you want to have a little bit more muscle. So you've been doing some, and like letting that guide some of your goals around things to flip the paradigm of what we've been talking about, where it's like, how do I train through travel, and more of like, I'm going to train for these trips that aren't like event specific.
I think that's a great idea. A lot of people who are normally active and training like to have active vacations. And so it's often the case, I think, it just historically and what I've seen, that those activities on vacation are not typically what they train for. So you may have a cyclist who's going on a vacation that's going to involve a lot of hiking or paddling or something like that. And it would make sense to pivot your training a bit. If you're a really fit recreational cyclist, and you're going to be hiking, you know, 6 hours a day at altitude, or in Europe somewhere, in Greece or something like that, then that's a very different effort on the body. And you could very conceivably be quite sore after a day or two, and, you know, not problematically so, but kind of to where it's not as enjoyable. So shifting what you're doing to prepare for that trip is a great way to stay active, to have a goal, but then make the activity on the trip kind of the goal, the point of it all. So it's a much better scenario, you know, if you're going hiking in Italy, seeing all these, you know, hill towns in Umbria and Tuscany, or you're at the Cinque Terre, which I don't recommend, by the way. You've got all these ups and downs and stairs and hills and things like that. You don't want to be like just really sore and worn out on day two. You want to be prepared for it, ready to go, and enjoying it. So I love that idea.
Yeah. I like to have people like think about, oh, I'm going to actually use my fitness, right? Like, I'm, instead of thinking I'm training, oh, what's my FTP? what's my pace? Like, what's my CTL? What's my TSS? All these different numbers. And it's like, oh, like I spent all this time being active and doing these like health promoting behaviors and focusing on wellness. And then I want to be able to just use that fitness and go on the trip. Like I do this a lot for like ski trips. And it's like, okay, cool. We can go do, you know, 20 runs today because all of these other behaviors allow you as someone who's, I guess, listening to this podcast, who's likely fairly active, to go out and kind of live a lot on these trips and get a lot of experience. And I think it's fun to look at it that way, as opposed to taking away from those trips and thinking that I need to continue training for, you know, some extra event, which obviously professionals, certain situations, there's always going to be contraindications, but there's also a lot of opportunity to just go out and explore the area, do some different things, and take advantage of the fact that you've built your body up all this time.
Yeah. It's about having well-rounded fitness. And I think it's for those of us not making a paycheck with our performance, I think it's well worth giving up a little bit of high-end performance for a single activity to be able to perform well and enjoy lots of activities. So again, if you've got, if you're a runner, a marathoner, and you want to go do a, you know, you're in Hawaii or Florida and you want to do a paddleboard trip, one day, that could wreck you if you have no upper body strength, core strength, haven't really trained for it. I think it's a much better indicator of overall fitness and health, quite honestly, to be in a place where you can hop on that board, go do a few hours of paddleboarding, come back and not just be wrecked for the rest of the trip. You may be a little sore. I mean, that's fine. But I can see a scenario where it could be just damaging if you've never done that to come back. So I totally agree with you. Setting your fitness up to be well-rounded is a key tenet of ours anyway. And if you set your trips up to kind of foster that and train for those, in addition to the other things you like, then you end up in a really sweet spot.
Yeah. Well, though we got a little tangential at the end there, I think we hit some good things on travel, training, exercise, activity, and how to kind of really reframe what you're trying to get out of your physical activity while you're on the road. And then also some ways to kind of control for not being able to be as active by bringing some gym equipment, sorting out a local gym that you can drop in, finding greenways and trails that you can go and explore, even just finding like a local hike.
Yeah. I will say, I should have mentioned earlier, one of the things that we started doing in the cycling team among some of the staff, I started it and some people joined in with me years back, is when we're on the road at a race, every day, however many kilometers the riders had to race, we would do that many pushups. And it didn't have to be at one time, but by the end of the day, if it was a 200 kilometer stage, you needed to have done 200 pushups. If it was a 10K, you know, time trial, then that's all you had to do that day. But finding something like that too, where I would never do that at home. You know, I'm not doing hundreds of pushups per day, but that was one way that not having a gym, being kind of time crunched in a weird way where like we'd hurry up and get to a start, but then there was a lot of time there. It just gave you a goal that was new and different. One year we added in squats as a thing that you could do too. So you had to do an aggregate, a 200 kilometer stage, you had to aggregate, you know, pushups plus squats had to equal 200. So playing around with it like that too, can be a lot of fun, I think.
Have you done that challenge at Milan San Remo?
I have.
What's that one? Is that
300? Actually, I think I was the only one that did it. It was, just under 300. There was a year or two where I was the only one that did it and everybody kind of looked at me funny. And then finally I got some folks to do it with me.
Oh, love it. Stay committed.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you all for listening. Enjoy your travels out there and enjoy finding new and unique ways to stay active and kind of get your exercise in while you're on the road.
Yeah. Thanks, Patrick. Thanks for listening to The Podium. To hear more, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram where I am at Dr. Kevin Sprouse. That's at Dr. Kevin Sprouse. The podcast posts at the_podium_podcast. You can also find and follow me on Strava. The content of this podcast is meant for general informational and educational purposes only and does not constitute medical advice. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. All listeners should speak with their doctor or medical practitioner before implementing any change in their healthcare regimen. If you're currently a patient at Podium, then you have an established doctor-patient relationship with me, and I'm happy to discuss this with you. If you're not currently a patient at Podium, nothing in this recording establishes a doctor-patient relationship between us, nor does it constitute the practice of medicine, nor the dissemination of medical advice. Should you implement any information contained herein without consulting your own physician, you do so at your own risk. The Podium Podcast is a Palm Tree Podco production. Our executive producer is Anthony Palmer, and the associate producer is Garrett Wright. Thanks to our digital team, Emily Miles and Caitlin Krings. The content for this episode was created by the team at The Podium.